true, that spiritual, actual, factual answers to questions he asking. You find them inside you, recite you, reciting the records of Kashuk. We laughing, we drafting the passion through fabric. It's time for that comedy, dramedy, all of the fanciest, catchiest acronyms. Listeners, listen, we traveling. Consciousness is always unraveling. The reading you're having is mapping you back to your natural habitat. Abracadabra, it's magic, let's pass it. To top it off, the host are the classiest. Now, what were you asking for? All of the answers, what? All the answers.
So, yeah, so.
Hey, Katie.
Here we are. Hi.
This is us starting, for real.
We haven't been talking before now.
No, this is smooth. Smooth, artful transitions. Yep, we are the X-Lax of podcasts.
Remember when we used to say that in the 80s?
Smooth move X-Lax. Yeah.
Yeah, we're old. Well, first thing I wanted to share was that, you know, healers get healings too. And this morning I had a 3-hour session with my dear friend, Karen Lovelian, who I have to do a plug. Karen and her very talented husband, Fred, and I are three-person team leading a 2-week trip through Egypt in November.
That's exciting. All right. This leads us, I actually was thinking about this. Do you know what the current travel restrictions are for vaccinations and such?
Yeah, we can go to Egypt.
You can?
Yeah.
All right.
Because we just, I don't know, we can. And we have this, we have local tour guides and we have tour people that have set this, they've done this tour twice before. And so they set it all up through the Egyptian government and there's like all kinds of, luckily I'm not having to do that end of things. But yeah, it's an interesting time to go to Egypt.
Yeah, because I actually thought about it this morning and I actually Googled that. And I was like, you know, the U.S. is saying you'd be very careful traveling. They're one of the zones that's having some issues. And, you know, of course, they're saying be vaccinated if you're going to travel to Egypt. So,
sure.
But, you know,
yeah,
I just don't want you to get it and get really sick.
No, thank you. Of course.
Because I love you.
And then there's the Delta variant, which is a real
thing.
That's
the problem right now. I'm like getting a little more aggressive with my sort of like, because it's breaking through and it's like, oh, people are going to get infected regardless now. But if you're vaccinated, you're less likely to die. So that's my like, that's when I start looking at my friends and just going, I know you're checking with yourself and doing this stuff. And my heart is saying, I don't want you to get sick and die.
I know, boo. Thank you. And so, I'm going to do what I do, you know,
yeah.
Just trust the divine and like keep asking. The minute it says you need to get this, I'm going to get it.
Yeah. I'm going to call them up and be like, hey, can you?
I call them up every goddamn morning and sometimes
I know.
Twice a day. So
all right.
Not to mention all the fucking clients I work with.
Right.
But I hear you and I understand. And I think it's a reasonable concern.
And yeah.
We're going to have a lot of protocols in place. It's going to be a lot of heavy double mask wearing and, you know, all kinds of stuff like that. Anyway, cool. So
all right. So that's happening.
2 weeks for 15 days, and we're taking a group of people. We have 22 people coming. It's like kind of amazing. Karen and Fred Lovelian are incredible healers, and they're friends of mine out here. And they each do, well, Karen does individual sessions or on her own, but then they do a 2-person healing session together where they're like, the energy that they each create creates a double vortex together. And it's incredibly amazing. They're just wonderful. So Karen, I've been telling her for months now about my turbulence terror. I have this like,
right. How are you going to fly to Egypt? This is exciting.
Right.
Tell me.
That's the thing. So I've been telling her for months about having this problem and how many healers and neuro people I've worked with and energy and psychology and EFT tapping and regressive therapy and integrative parts work. I mean, name a thing. And I've tried to heal this thing with that. So she and I went in together and she asked her guidance, can I actually help Katie with this? She got a yes, I got a no initially. And then she said this really helpful thing. She goes, ask the question this way. And I asked, and the way was, can Karen clear all related to this entirely? And I asked it that way and it was like, ding, 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 ding. Now, this brings up an interesting thing to talk about. Why should it matter so much how you frame things? It does. Words like have incredible, man, are they specific with their words? At least with me, they are. Like, and with Karen, they are. I'll ask a question and then rephrase it a different way. Like sometimes I'll rephrase a question 6 different times just to be sure I'm getting like really clear guidance. The divine is not living in our 3D weird reality. So
right.
Words are what they are in their way. And they're not the same as we colloquially use them all the time. So we have to be really clear. Like, here's one that this is good for people to hear. I've learned this one over and over again. The word marriage does not mean to the beings of light and God when you're in a channeling space, unless you're clear about what you mean by marriage. It doesn't mean, according to the beings of light, I should have married 60 dudes by now. And I finally realized, not 60, but like 10. And I finally realized, like, oh, we're talking, you guys are, marriage in that sense was connect with this person's heart and soul in a deep romantic way, learn what you have to learn and move on. That is the marriage of souls.
So it's more like the merging of souls or something, or the pairing of souls.
When the hearts merge energetically, spiritually through sex, and that's what happens. If you have sex a bunch of times, your heart just, that's what happens. They just do that energetically. So particularly, and some of us are more attuned to it, more sensitive to it. Women tend to be more sensitive than men to it. But men find out after they break up sometimes how much they were in it, but they didn't know they were in it. Anyway, the point is, and everybody's different and it's not just binary, but that's an oversimplification, we get the point. But sometimes the only way to learn a particular lesson or heal a fucking karmic whatever is you got to get in relationship with someone and get in that mess, fucking get that those two vortexes spinning together of the hearts and see what happens, and then spin it off and be done already. Now, I find that there are faster ways to do it. And you don't always have to get in there and do it. You could do it just through healing the karma between you. But other times we're not in charge and the divine goes, yeah, you got to get in relationship with that person. So now when I talk about, like, I say things like a long-term romantic life partner who I could live with and be happy living with and who would facilitate lots of, you know, I'm very clear words about what I mean, because
they don't give a shit about governmental stamps is what you're saying.
Exactly. But they do understand union of the heart, and they do understand. And for me, there's a lot of teaching about in this 10-second increment of time, marry that guy. But that's how they operate with me. It's now and now and now. And so now that I understand that, it's like, okay, I frame my questions differently, because permanence is not relevant in the realm of the divine. Nothing is permanent in the realm, right. In the realm of the divine, it's like, this instant is this instant, and that's that. Now, there are certain things that are going to last long enough that you can predictably say, move to Mancos, Colorado, because there's stuff there for you. And et cetera. It's, you know, whatever that example might be. I have a couple of clients right now. I just want to say this, like, publicly. I'm so honored by when I take this so seriously, because I'm like, if people are paying me money and listening to my advice, I better be a clear freaking channel to the best of my ability. I know I've said that on here before, but I have clients moving across the country right now. I have clients leaving their partners. I have clients quitting their jobs. I have people who are in transition and they're listening to what I'm getting from the guides in that person's records. And it's very humbling to me. I'm very honored, you know, even though I've been doing this a while, I'm always humbled and honored by that, because that's your life. I mean, when I look at, I was telling you before that I wanted to finally reveal my big secret, which is like hardly a secret, but I want to talk about it here today, which is that I am moving to the East Coast. I am moving to New York, upstate New York, a town called, that's all I'm going to say. We probably should the town out. Let's out Desmond. I'm moving to a town, and there's a, you know, I'm doing that because, okay, a little backstory. It's an entertaining story, I think. In 2018, when I first started to get what I was getting about California and how it was going to be like on fire and lots of riots and like a scary place to be for a while, I started to ask, like, well, do I need to be here? And the guidance was like, no, you're going to be here for 2 years and then you're going to head out, right? So in 2018, when I had that session with...
What did we call him? We called him a name.
Whatever, that guy. You and I were doing...
Yeah, you mean to do me harm.
And it was in a session with Johnny that I started to hear what was going to go on in California, including, remember, there were five things, but I didn't know what the fifth one was. And then when 2020 came, it was COVID.
Right.
Do you remember this whole thing?
Yeah.
Okay. So when I saw that and it was so dramatic and the energy was so big, I started to ask, do I stick around or do I go? Because, like, I honestly, personally, at the time, I felt unsafe. I felt like,
right,
I don't feel safe in California if all this is going to go down. I now understand, like, that's not why they moved me at all. My feeling unsafe had nothing to do with it. What it was to do with was my personal growth. It was like the things I could only get from the land here. And I fucking got them. And thank God. Okay. Point being, they said, I kind of wanted to hightail it right then. I was kind of over the theater scene and I was just feeling like, I gotta get the fuck out of here anyway. But they said, no, wait until right before all the shit goes down. And it's gonna be September of 2020. And that was what I got. So I waited until September 2020. And I don't know if you recall, but the day I drove out of town, it was like the red sky days. Okay, all of this I'm trying to get to. I was doing this technique I learned through a family constellation facilitator I worked with a lot, where you take little pieces of paper and tear them up and you write words on the paper and then you fold the papers up so you can't see what word is on what paper. And then so you have a bunch of blind little sheets of paper that you don't know what words are on there.
Uh-huh.
And you ask the divine or however you do it. In this particular system, they say, just ask the field of consciousness the question you have and hold each piece of paper one at a time against your heart and see if you get a yes or a no. And it's in the sort of a traditional kinesiology way where your body sways forward for a yes and backward for a no.
Okay.
So I was playing with that with names of cities in the country. This was like in all from 2018 to 2020, over and over again, I kept running this experiment because I kept thinking, there's got to be a way out of going to the four corners. I just like couldn't fully get on board, you know. At the time, every time I would do that exercise, there were two cities that had yes energy on it, just two. And well, I shouldn't say cities, areas. One was the four corners. And eventually it honed itself down once I had traveled out here and gotten some clarity to Mancus. And the other was New York. And at the time I was like, that makes actual zero sense.
Those have nothing to do with each other.
Could they be more different? The answer is no. And I thought at the time, like, I can't even begin to process what the fuck that is. So I'm just going to ignore the New York thing and put that aside and assume that that's like something from my past, or like maybe that's something we'll revisit in a few years. I can't even with that. And I was talking to my closest friends and being like, why would it say Mancus or New York? That's such a weird combo. Well, I was foolish because I never clarified and I didn't ask, because it didn't even occur to me for some reason to ask, is it Mancus and then New York? I just assumed you're going to the four corners, period.
That's where you're moving.
And like something about New York later, who knows? And I just like couldn't, to be honest, I just like couldn't handle another piece of input at that time. Like,
I can't imagine going, you're going to make a major move. And then 9 months later, you're going to make another major move. And that's what you're going to plan on doing. So deal with that huge piece of information.
Exactly. It was too much for my system. And I was just like, maybe that's a fluke. Maybe that's like a hangover from the days that I lived in New York. And maybe some part of me thinks it needs to go there. And I just was like, I can't. Also, here's the truth. I had no willingness, none, to go to New York. If you had said to me at that time, the record keepers, Jesus himself shows up in my bedroom naked and horny and says, you're going to New York with me, babe, and you're going to be my girlfriend and let's get married, I would have been like, no, Jesus the Christ, I won't.
What do you mean by marriage? And then it would have been a distraction and he would have lost his arousal. Go on.
You understand.
I do.
So I just really just kind of just blew it off 100%. Anyway, cut to here I am for a long time in this area. And I take these trips out to New York because there was all this like psychic spiritual shit that was having me, if you recall, there was a moment where I opened the Akashic Records of the Divine Light Healing Center that I opened here, and it created this route that went through the ground and created a portal into New York. You remember this? Our mutual friend Rami was very interested in the portal. They and I have talked about it many times. I think they have visited it. I went and saw it. I went there to 72nd and East End and like stood there and went, now what? And the portal said to me, nothing, you did it. It's cool. And I went, well, that's boring. Remember that?
Yeah. There's a little bit of a storytelling wise, it was a letdown. Because we want to attach some sort of value to a narrative.
Exactly. Storytelling wise, it was like, wah, wah. But then I realized, like, psychically and for what its purpose was, it's like it's doing what it needed me to build it so it could do that thing. Point being, I started to just really get over and over again, okay, now it's time to look at New York. Like everything here started to feel sort of dead. Like everything wrapped itself up. It was like there was no more life happening for me here. Whereas when I first got here, there was all this movement and all this activity and all this healing. And I was like 3 a.m. every night awakened by the energy of the land that was healing my womb. And then I made friends with Dr. Nicola and she started doing parts work with me. And that was really fruitful. And then we finished my parts work. And then the nighttime healings stopped happening. And then the friendships, I love all the people here. I'm still very close with all these people, but it's sort of like, it just went flat. I don't know how else to explain it. So I started to ask like, all right, do I need to dig in? Do I need to move to Durango? Do I need something? Do I need a project? Do I need to expand my business? Like, what do I need? And I just started to get New York over and over again. And then I was like, oh, there's that again. So then I drove out there a couple of times and had some incredible, miraculous experiences and some challenges. It wasn't like, this is the part I really wanted to get to in the story. When I moved here, there was all this magic and wizardry. It was like magic land and magic people showed up and magic apartment and an apartment house and magic, the healing center, magic, you know, the boyfriend through the spiritual friends, magic. Leaving, now that I've been working on leaving for a couple months, has been really deeply difficult. It has there's been a lot of grief, a lot of crying on my part, mostly because like separating from this land and separating from my boyfriend and separating from just like anchoring here and thinking about a life in New York, which like we said, could not be more different and is not on my personal radar. It's not like I'm thinking about New York and want to go to New York. It's like my higher self and the guides I listen to are like, that's what's next. Now, in the sitting with it and resisting it and going, this is not what I want. Why would I do something I just don't fucking want to do? There's been so much that's come out of it. Piece number one is in the same period of time, I got off of sugar and espresso. As I've shared on here before, I sort of took a spiritual healer friend's advice and just did it because I knew I was feeling shitty and I was coughing all the time. And I thought, I know that sugar is not great for me and I know it inflames my body and I do feel a little chubbers and I'd like to feel less chubbers and I'm coughing all the time. Fuck it. I'm going to surrender and do this. And lo and behold, I can breathe and I'm not coughing and I'm not inflamed and it's a lot better. Right.
Yeah.
And I was reminded of the 12-step principle of like, when you're letting go of an addiction, nothing in you wants to let go of heroin.
Right.
Everything in your nervous system and bloodstream and mind is like, just fucking get me some fucking heroin now. And that's how I've been about espresso for 25 years. No kidding.
Yeah.
Forever. I've been like, you couldn't pay me to not have espresso in the morning. And then for months and months, I was processing it and looking at it and thinking about it. How am I going to do it? Praying about it. And then one day a lady said, you need to do that. And I went, okay. And I just did it.
Yeah.
So like what divine timing, A, and B, I didn't want to do it for a long time. And now I feel a lot better.
Yeah.
So the metaphor of that keeps being brought to me. Like there's a lot of stuff, Katie, you don't want to do in life. And then when you finally do it, you feel so much better.
It's like the difficult conversations thing that we've talked about in the past. It's like, you'd rather suffer small ongoing than briefly suffer big and be liberated.
Liberated. That's right. That's exactly right. And so this one feels harder than espresso in a way.
Yeah, that's a little bigger. A little bigger deal.
So it's like I have this beautiful house here and these people and all the light of the land. Granted, I've been a little over it. So there's a part of me that was like, okay, new adventure. I could get into that. But like still hard because I got to like pack all this shit again and bring the dog in a U-Haul. And it's like a whole fucking thing. You moving is not an easy weekend experience.
No.
It's like huge. Then there was the trip out there where I found the place I'm going to be living, which is an incredible place. And I hope to God you come out there to hang out.
So is it like a small city, big town in upstate? We're not going to just say its name again, but
yeah. Small town upstate, get this shit. Okay. My condo, it's like a legit beautiful, fucking stunning condo, two bedrooms, is on the Hudson River, on it. Like, here's the window, there's the river, like on the river, stunning. One block away from the condo is the train to Manhattan. A block, I can walk to it, leave my car at home. A block the other direction is the little downtown of the town, which is like adorable. Yeah, then there was the conversation I had with this. So all of this long-winded thing I'm saying is I'm trying to get to this point. If you remember 700 years ago in this conversation today, when I said, I'm honored and humbled that people listen to me and take my advice because I'm channeling it. And I, you know, I sure as fuck hope the channeling is real. I mean, I believe in it, but also like, I'm just honored and humbled because it's people's lives and I take it seriously. I have someone who I go to, who I trust now like that, who has said to me, let me put it to you this way. I had told her no things. I'm sitting in the parking lot of my new condo in this town in New York when we had our session. And I've told her no things. We get on the phone and she has me do my breathing and tap in and whatever. She says, wow, are you aware that you're in the middle of the biggest choice point of your life? And I start to sob and I'm like, I do. I am. I know. I'm sitting here. I can't. I don't know. And I'm freaking out. And she says, the town you're sitting in, she knows nothing about, am I home? Am I in Colorado? Where am I? Nothing. She says, the town you're sitting in is where you need to be. You're going to go there. And she sort of laid out the next 5 years of my life. And she's like, these things happen. All you have to do is show up and allow it to happen. Do this, do that, do this, do that. These things happen, go. And she said, I know that your heart is feeling really torn and tugged and pulled to the place that you live now in Durango. And she said, but you've got to leave it for much bigger things, things that fit better, things that feel better. It's so much better and so much bigger. And that's, I've shared with you personally some of the stuff she's told me about the podcast in particular. It was kind of charming because she said, they keep showing me like a radio show. Like you have like a radio show. I go, yeah, well, I mean, yeah. And before I could explain, she goes, you're going to meet people, a person in particular is going to really help you with that radio show. And that radio show is going to be very large. Like you can't even understand how large it's going to be. And I was like, now are we talking about a separate radio show from my podcast? And she goes, oh yes, I'm 60. We called it radio show. They're showing me sound waves. I don't know your lingo. Yes, podcast, that. We didn't do podcasts in my day. So your version of radio show, that. And I go, okay, great. And then she's like, anyways, so that. And then there was all this stuff about like 10,000 other things that I won't get into because they're really specific to me. But this woman said that and said all the words she said in an hour and a half. And it was so affirming of what I've been getting in my meditations and in listening to my guidance, that I'm really like leaning on it a lot. I remember that she said that. It's like the guidance I get in my channel is the thing I'm listening to because I trust it above all other things. But she's a close second because I can tell that she's got a very strong channel and she's hearing from the same energies I'm hearing from.
And she's confirming what you are getting most of the time.
And way more than what I'm getting. Like I'm getting like, do these three things, move the stuff, live in that building, go now. That's all I get. And she's going, you're doing that stuff, moving now, living in that building because, and here's 90 other things, which is what I tend to get for other people when I read for them. It's like, oh, I see the big picture and I see why you're doing this and here's some words about it. And hopefully it empowers people to live their dharma and do what they're here to do. But when it's you, having to take a leap of faith this large, that doesn't feel, frankly, it doesn't feel full of magic. It feels kind of difficult.
Yeah.
And I'm working on myself to clear everything that's making it difficult. I'm like changing my frame of mind around it and kind of going like, well, this is the guidance I got. We're going to take it and we're going to see what happens. Worst case scenario, it's a terrible idea. And we turn around and come back to some other place. Like it's really not the end of the world if like, I hate it. Right?
Yeah.
You can just break a lease or live through a year of a lease or, you know, it's not the end of the goddamn world.
Right.
It just feels in the human nervous system, scary and daunting.
Yeah.
And part of what I keep getting over and over in meditation is that part of my role in this life is to show people you can follow higher knowing without feeling, you don't always feel like it. I can't tell you how many times people have come to me and booked a session because they say, how did you do that? How did you quit your job and become freelance? How did you be an actor? How did you trust that you could leave that long-term boyfriend? How did you? And it's always been because I knew in my higher self I had to. Even before I was channeling shit, I knew what was right. I just didn't want, it was comfortable to stay with the boyfriend. It would have been more comfortable to stay in the job. But these risks we have to take to feel our whole selves and to live authentically, I believe they have to be taken. I mean, you're someone who does a lot of those, I think. Would you agree?
I do feel as though I've always been someone who is, who I feel like things have been laid out and usually I don't have a big decision to make in order to do it. It's just been like, I think about like when I, you know, I was applying to college, I was going to apply to San Francisco State and UC system. And then I pivoted because I heard about something at Sonoma State. So I went to Sonoma State because I got in. Cool. And I had an amazing, great connections and some phenomenal experiences as a result of that very easy choice. And then grad school, I screwed the pooch on some auditions, really didn't do very well. So the one school that was like, hey, you want to come to us? I was like, cool, I'll go to you. And that's why I went there. But like, and I've always just, you know, gone and done the next thing. And it's never, but it, all that is to say, it has been generally so fucking easy for me. You know, and there's a guilt framework I struggle with all the time around that. And that's my own journey. But it's been, what am I trying to say? I have very often taken time to like reflect on how grateful I am for the sort of grace with which every next step has unfolded for me. Even in times of difficulty, it's never been really that hard. You know, in times of extreme duress, it's like, okay, well, then the next thing is this.
Like, what's an example of?
I mean, things that didn't seem like a big deal, but then became like life changing. You know, like it was really hard to leave my girlfriend when I was living in Santa Fe, but she broke up with me, and so I didn't have to make that choice, and it was the right choice. Like, but it was given to me in that sense.
Right.
And I moved back to the Bay Area and reconnected with Rami. And then Rami and I became a couple and then we got married. And then our relationship grew and changed in the way it grew and changed. But that relationship set me up into the story that I'm currently occupying, you know, with my house and my life and what I get to do and don't do. So I'm sort of in the other end of that, but I do often I struggle with like, oh, the universe, blah, 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 blah. Cause it feels very myopic to me in my head to think that the universe is taking time to shape my destiny. Like, who the fuck am I?
So it's about, for you, that doubt is about time, that the universe doesn't have time.
Yeah. That's a silly way of saying it. That the universe, like that the universe is a force that's looking at me and going, now I'm going to do a thing for you, individual human being. And that's just my own framing of like, who the fuck am I that you would bother? Who the fuck is anybody, though, that you would bother? But the other side of that is this other hand that is always simultaneously also very active. And that is that says how amazing that has been. That journey has been like, I haven't had to look at it at all in the same way you have, but similar, like when it's right, it's right. When it's the correct thing, it is the correct thing. Sometimes it's been a painful thing that was foisted on me that caused a wonderful thing. And even those are still judgment spaces. But like I have survived and thrived consistently throughout my life with very little challenges. Now, if I laid out all my challenges, someone would go, you've had fucking plenty of challenges. Shut up. Mm-hmm. But all that is to say, I understand the idea of things being right and that when things are right, they just are. And you know, in your deepest knowing, it's like that's the next. That's the next thing.
Yeah.
And in our head, we get into the division space and go, but I don't want to do that. That's not what I want. I have a different vision in my head, in my eyes. Like you said, I think we talked a while ago about how what you see is always going to be a lie to a certain extent because right, you're holding a vision of what it will look like.
Right. Not to listen with the eye of the eye, but the eye of the heart.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I just mostly what I wanted to kind of put forth for people is, I think sometimes following higher awareness comes with like, wee. And sometimes it comes with, oh my God, ow, really? fuck. And we kind of think if it doesn't come with we every time, that it's not the thing. But that's, I don't know, that's not been my experience.
Yeah, it's been both. Like sometimes it's, oh God, what a great choice that was. That feels so, I'm freed because I made that choice. And sometimes it's like, why did I have to make that choice? Fuck.
Yeah, but yeah.
But most of the time, I think we both discovered almost every time when it's that deep knowing, and even if it hurts painfully in the moment, it always has resulted in, oh yeah, right. Ah.
So how do your deep knowings come? Is it in the heart? Is it in the belly? Is it just a knowing? How does it come for you?
I think it often comes in the form of like heart, and then it is like a vision, but it's more like, I'll give the example of a very painful breakup. I'll be vague about the time frame, but a very painful breakup when I really had to hold it in my mind about whether it was the right thing. And when I really like sat with it and deeply meditated with it and deeply held it, I literally could not see. It was almost like the snap in Marvel movies. I would see the shape of a future with this person, and then it would just go, and it would dust away in my mind's eye.
Yeah.
And that, like, I still need like a visual, like my brain is so active in myself that my brain was like, okay, you need to see it in the mind. Here it is.
Yeah.
And it wasn't so much that I knew what I needed to do. It's that
I have to just interject something. Seeing is a way of knowing spiritually.
Right.
Seeing, feeling, hearing, perceiving, knowing. They're all ways of knowing. So maybe your psychic intuitive way of knowing, big picture of yourself, is through seeing.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean it's bad because it's in your mind. Just wanted to validate
cool.
that.
But I do remember the very vivid imagery, and it's still, I can see it right now, of this dusting away, like it collapsing and blowing away and being not able to hold on to it.
Yeah.
And that was when I knew, like, oh no, this future does not exist.
Right.
You know, and I'm thankful to this day that this person forced me to do that.
Yeah.
They forced me to say, what do we have in the future? And I said, oh, nothing.
Yeah. Isn't that a trip?
Yeah.
Like, what trips me out is that A, you trusted it, and that's not magic-y shit. That's like an image in your mind that you saw and knew somehow on some level that isn't typical or traditional or what people do.
Yeah.
There you go, following spiritual direction.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I guess you asked me at the beginning of this, what does knowing look like for you, or what is true knowing?
How do you get your awareness?
How do I get my awareness? And that's one way. And others have been just a release of tension around the heart, a lightness. I think you've taught me some of that, like that feeling of like, is it light or is it heavy?
Yeah.
Is it bright or is it dark? Like, just, it's sort of simple. You just kind of go, you know, how does that feel in your head? Nope. You're just, it's not there. You're like, oh, that feels really heavy. Okay, maybe not.
You know what I find tricky about that one? Is sometimes it changes.
Yeah. Well, and heavy can be difficult. Our body can, like my self can go, that feels really difficult, which I then hold as heavy.
That's right.
And that's not always the wrong choice.
That's right. Now, that's kind of what I love this conversation, because I found myself saying to a friend a couple of weeks ago, okay, I'm going to be transparent about this. The cost of my place I'm going to live in, my mind is struggling. My mind is like, really? Okay, bitch, good luck. Like, there's a lot of that going on.
You're leaving Southern Colorado real estate prices to go to New York real estate prices.
That's true. But to be fair, I could have found, there were plenty of places I found that would have been more reasonable than what I chose. Like, I found a bunch of places in New York that were like sane. And then I found this place that my heart sings at the idea of being there. And also that psychically it's on a fucking vortex of light. It's a portal of light. There's work for me to do through the land there. Like, it was all the spiritual reasons, but also I just love it. And so I kept asking and asking and asking, I will take something cheaper. I will do whatever. And just getting, that's the one you're taking. Now, here's another, if we were to take it through the human design filter, human design would say, because I'm a manifesting generator, wait to respond and follow your strategy and authority. So my strategy and authority is wait, the strategy, I think, is wait to respond. And my authority is follow the emotional wave, or I might have those reversed. I can never get it straight. And the emotional wave is the one that goes, I don't remember if you have an emotional wave or not defined, but anyway,
I can't remember.
It goes like big yes, big no, big yes, big no. And then it evens out to like a kind of middle ground. Yeah, I think so.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you say, like a generator or a manifesting generator is only ever going to be 60% sure about anything.
Right.
Maybe 70%, because for themselves anyway, because that's how you're meant to be.
Yeah.
So point being, I was saying to a friend recently, when the landlord emailed me and said, okay, you've been accepted. Can you send this huge amount of money to us for 3 months rent? I just went, oh yeah, yes. It was like so light in my body. After months of being like sad and processing it and grieving the loss of being here and all this kind of shit, it was so light. And it wasn't like exciting even. It was just like, ah, yes, yes. It just opens everything. Now, I said yes, and I started paying them money. I've had to do it in chunks because the way my bank account works, you can't send that amount all at once. It's like, no, you have to do it in these chunks. So every day I send a chunk and it feels light going. But if I were to listen to my mind is like, really? Okay. Bye-bye. Easy come, easy go, money. So it's the trip. And I've had a few mornings waking up filled with anxiety and just like, holy fuck, what am I doing? And then I get busy taking action to like handle what needs to be handled. And then as I'm in the action, I'm just light. I'm light and happy. I'm like, okay, we do this now. We're going to sell that thing. We got to pack this. We got to order the U-Haul. And in the doing of that, it's all light. So why am I saying any of this? I'm talking about this for people to hear it and understand, maybe if we can, any of us, right? The difference between light and easy. And like you said, the difference between heavy and difficult. Just because something's difficult doesn't mean it's heavy.
Yeah. And it's sometimes hard to tell the difference, but we have to develop that.
Yeah, it really is. It really is. So, you know, it's humbling for me to share this publicly because I really just have no idea what's coming. I mean, this could be a big experiment that the entire purpose of which was to teach me something that I have no idea about. Like maybe it was to teach me like, no, bitch, live within your means.
It's saying you need to buy a super high-end Winnebago and just keep moving. Maybe this whole Winnebago thing has been yours, not mine.
I don't hate that. I think one day I am going to have a Winnebago, but it's going to be in addition to a few houses. That's the vision.
Okay.
Yeah.
Should we go on the records and ask these questions? The idea we had today was to talk about, we got a bunch of listener submitted questions.
Yeah.
And rather than having them on individually as guests, we're going to do another group ask. We haven't done one of those in a while.
Yep. Let's do it. Let's start with Gracie, I think is her name.
Yeah. She was the sort of inspiration. Let's just ask, do we need to pee before we start?
I actually don't over here.
I do. So I might as well. So I'll be right back. All right. I am back.
Okay. So for Gracie, can you do me a favor and maybe this will be good for the listeners too. Could you read the original questions in the email and then the follow-up more specific questions in the second email once we're in her records?
Yes. While you get into the records, I will find them out.
All right. I'm going to get in the old recordos. I got to move you, small dog. I got to move you around. Kisses from my dog. All right. This is fun because I love these days because we're going to kind of go speed round style, lightning round, in and out, one records to the next.
Oh, my little dog is giving me kisses on my face. Do you want to go to New York? She says, I'll go wherever you go, mama. And I say, you're very cute. You're wonderful, familiar.
So we do acknowledge, forces of light. Okay, before that, they're like, breathe. All right, I'm going to anchor myself here into the low belly breath. I'm going to feel the feet on the ground. See those foot chakras spinning open. anchoring some tree roots, a light down through each foot, hundreds of miles into the earth. Allowing my grounding cord to extend from the first chakra down, hundreds of miles down, foot and a half wide to the center of the earth. Allowing a river of light to flow up through that cord, down through my legs, into the roots. Establishing, creating, and allowing for a nice tripod grounding structure of light. Asking for my heart to soften, back of my neck to open. I'm asking for awareness today from the bottom up and the top down. Awareness from all directions. Okay, and so we do acknowledge the forces of light, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Whitney Grace Carney in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Whitney Grace Carney through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Whitney Grace Carney have for Whitney Grace Carney. I'll go quiet for just a moment. Okay, so Lords, Masters, and Teachers of the Records of Whitney Grace Carney, Whitney Grace Carney. Can you deepen me into her records, please? And let's clear, if you could please, anything and everything in my field or hers that would stand in the way of clarity coming through on her behalf. Okay, so what is she looking? She had a few questions, right, Cass?
Yep. So she has two questions. I think we'll ask the one about the mom first and then the house All second. Right. Does that okay. sound okay?
Sure.
So recently during a meditation, I felt my mother's presence so strongly. She died in 1996. And it is such an extremely rare occurrence. It felt very meaningful. But I feel like I get in the way whenever my mom shows up and I can't fully receive whatever I need to. I'd like to know what, if anything, she has for me, any messages or insights. And I have her full legal name as well, if you need it.
And in the second email, she elaborates. Can you see what the elaboration
yes.
is there?
The elaboration is mostly about the house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Nothing else about the mom?
My mom's legal maiden name is Linda Lee Johnson, or Newell if you need the married name. And does she have any messages or info for her?
So she just wants to know, does the mom have any messages? She doesn't want to know what's in the way of receiving when her mom comes in?
That is not exactly what she asked. She says she keeps getting in the way. I feel like I get in the way whenever my mom shows up. I'd like to know what, if anything, she has for me. And I don't think she says anything more in the... No. There's a lot about the house.
What, if anything, she has for me. Okay, so Lords, Masters, and Teachers, the records of Whitney Grace Carney. You know, it's pretty normal for people who, you know, don't spend 700 years developing a psychic ability to get in the way. That's very normal. And here we have, there's a feeling of, just so you know, Whitney, there's a feeling of, let me see here. There's something in the low belly and the feelings and the womb space that doesn't want to that makes it a little hard for you to, like, feelings. Feelings make it hard. Your emotions, they make it hard for you to hear clearly. And then your mind is active and gets in the way. And then you're trying to figure it out. And then you're doubting it. And then you're not sure. And then you believe the doubts and the not sure more than you believe the expanse of awareness. So anyway, those are pretty common things that do get in people's way. Okay. And so Whitney, Grace Carney's mom, could you tell me one more time, Cassidy, her name?
The mother's name is Linda Lee Johnson Newell.
All right, so Linda Lee Johnson, the mom of Whitney Grace Carney, is there any info, is there anything you'd like to share with Whitney? Well, that's very interesting. Let me just sit here for a moment with this. Okay, well, that is so interesting. So the unprocessed, remember I said a moment ago, the unprocessed, or the way we said it before was like feelings in the low belly, feelings, right? Getting in the way of, and then thoughts getting in the way of hearing and knowing and perceiving beyond feelings and thoughts. Are you wanting to give her? No. Okay, so she's saying like, I want to help you with the feelings and thoughts you have that keep you from being able to hear me, because I'm here all the time and we could just be chit-chatting. She has this real way where she's like, we could be hanging out. You want to just talk sometimes? I'm around. And so she says, you know, what those feelings in your gut, in the low belly, oh, yeah, your sadness and your anger and your frustration, they're actually quite connected. The way they show it to me, like a spiral line. It starts at the belly, goes up to the left side of the body, through the neck toward the right side, and out the head, and then in through the top of the head, and anchors into the center of the head where the pineal gland is. And so if you were to process those feelings and let yourself grieve and be angry and be sad and be scared, and then kind of go through that, it would create some relief for you. And that is connected not only to the feelings, but to your brain. And it would allow you to receive awareness. So your mom is around, you're right. And she's not just around so that you and she can chit chat, although she would love that and you would love that. She's around because she's trying to show you what you need in order to have a little bit more of this extrasensory sense that would be great for you to have. She's also saying this extrasensory sense, my love, is part of what is going to help you make the tough decisions you're in the middle of, which does bring us to the house topic.
Yeah.
In other words, like, you get caught in your head and mind and feelings, and this is for everyone to hear. You worship your feelings and your thoughts. The divine, or you could say consciousness itself, is asking human beings to consider worshiping something else, something bigger, lighter, and more aware. Your thoughts and feelings are not wrong and bad. They are meant to be a doorway that you travel through into awareness. Awareness has like a clarity, like a light, like you guys have been talking about today. There's one system of teaching that teaches that the thoughts and feelings are the lower harmonics of knowing and being. So if you process your thoughts, however you do that, Whitney, process them, meaning feel them until they're not there anymore, then that will clear up this spirally line of energy that connects into the center of your head that makes it impossible for you to know, or you could say have awareness. Another thing is for you, Whitney, is to practice not worshiping at the altar of your doubt and not worshiping at the altar of your fear. You love to spend a lot of time with your fear, it seems. And when we say you love to, we just mean you're quite habituated to the practice of bowing at the feet of your fear. Fear comes up, Whitney, and you say, yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Got it. Yes, sir. And that's why you're stuck, by the way, about the house, because you're listening to the fear. And you even said that in your email. You said in the email something like, and you tell me, Cass, where I'm wrong, something like, I keep wanting to move, but then I get afraid. I don't know. Let's hear it from the actual question.
I'll just read, it's a significant paragraph, but there's a lot of good info in it. So okay. Is that all right?
Yeah.
All right. As far as the house thing goes, the stuck I feel is, yes, partly due to the amazing rent we got locked into when we moved in almost 13 years ago, and the impossibility of finding the same amount of space for the same amount of money in the Bay Area. But energetically, there just seems to be darkness, or like a weight that I can't shake. There we go, darkness and weight. There's definitely weirdness with the landlords who live in another apartment in the house, but it seems like there's something else here beyond the physical present reality. I've definitely felt some presences in the house of other realms. During this past year, the whole foundation was redone and it really felt like the energy got shaken up and it felt like everything is really off now, as in there is not much positive energetic flow and it's a challenge to create positive energetic flow in the house since the foundation got dug up. But this heavy, dark, thick energy has been around a long time. It just feels heightened since the foundation work. This is the longest I've ever lived in one place. 4 years was the max before this, but I've never felt like this was my home. I really want to find my home, and this is not the place. That's a lot. Sorry. Hope you can find something to work with there.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you've answered your own question. It's not your home. You're looking for home. I'm not clear on what's keeping her from just doing it. She says something about the energy rent. In the house is keeping her from doing it. Is that what she says?
She's really saying that rent is one of the main things.
Okay. Let me listen in here. So first I would like to know, what is this dark, heavy, thick energy? Yeah. So Lords, Masters, and Teachers, the records of Whitney, her mom, the house itself.
Do you need the address? I can give it to you and we can beep it out.
Yeah, 1 second. Shall we open the records of the house? I get a no.
Okay.
But that's a good question. We may come back to it with the address. All right, so is this demons, entities, implants, alien, other people's energy? Yes, other people's energy. Past life, karma, trauma, other people's energy. Now, is this people in the building? No. Near the building? Yes. Is it the landlords? Yes. Is it drug use? Sometimes is it? No. Is it bodies buried under? Oh, okay. That's often one. Wow, that's a big yes. So something about the landlords and whatever's in the ground underneath the house. Okay, so record keepers, can we clear it? No. Why? Why can't we clear it? Okay, so they're like, this is not the point. Clearing this is not the point. The point is for her to take the risk, follow her awareness, trust in the higher self and in the higher knowing, and stop living at a lower frequency and a lower vibration. Listen, when you make a choice from fear and you live in a low vibration situation, you just suffer all the time. And then all the other aspects of your life become lower frequency and lower vibration. Like if you take the leap, this is like exactly what Katie and Cassidy were just talking about. If you take the leap and take the larger rent, whatever you're gonna have to pay, it's going to grow you into figuring out how to pay it. If you give yourself permission to take that point of view or to have that framework in your mind, like that's the point of this growth for you. You've been feeling stagnant because you're not taking the leap you already know you need to take. You don't even need me to tell you that. You said it in the email. When any of you human beings live in fear, I can't do it, therefore I'll stay where it's comfortable. But you want to do something new? If you want to do something new and then you go, oh, but I can't because is what sticks you and what limits you. So you just can't buy into that. You have to practice retraining your mind. Here's a phrase you could play with that would give you, that could be your mantra or your affirmation. You know, start looking on Craigslist and Zillow and all the places people look for a new place to live. And your mantra is, because this is the light thing to do, L-I-G-H-T, not R, because I want to do it, it is the light thing to do. When you want it that much, it's light. It's your desire. Desire is God-given. Desire is universe-given. So because I desire it, because it's the light thing to do, the universe is guiding me to the perfect home for me. Because I desire it, because it is light for me, the universe is guiding me to the light home for me. Okay? That's your mantra. And then every time fear and anxiety come up, you come back to the mantra, feel into the fear and anxiety, but don't give in to them. You make choices from the energy and the awareness you have about what is light, not choices from the awareness of what is scary and therefore something you're not going to do. This is just what we were just talking about. We were just talking about this. How fun is that? I love it. All right. Cass, did we answer all of her questions?
Yes. No, that was it. That was it for her questions.
Okay. All right. Let me just see if there's any other. All right. Record keepers, more info for her? No. I'll tell you something, Whitney, just real quick, if you're listening. There's a real energy of, you know, this happens for a lot of people with their record keepers. They come and they get a session and they're like, man, that's some strong, clear direction. And it's very like, it's delivered in this really like kind of way. That's because they've been talking to you for 4 or 5 years, maybe 6 or 7 years, going like, here's a better idea. Here's a better idea. Here's an idea. And you're going, no, 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 no. So when you finally open and say like, okay, actually tell me, they're like, yeah, bitch, we've been yelling at you forever and you've been hearing it. They're tired. They're like, how much we can't up-level the consciousness of the planet if y'all don't fucking listen. And that's not to shit on you, Whitney, but that's like a lesson for all of us. That is what is happening. Okay, let's do a tangent because they're bringing it up. This shit that is happening on the planet, we're going to talk about it over and over again. You've got floods in Germany. You've got fires in California and Oregon, all over the West Coast. You've got hurricanes on the East Coast. You've got mudslides and avalanches killing people left and right. We've got political unrest and the economy. You've got Delta variant of the COVID. All of it, everyone, all of it is... Okay, manifestations of the up-leveling of the consciousness. When you up-level something, everything in the way of the up-leveling has to be flushed up and out. We've used this metaphor before, but it's use it again because it's funny and disgusting, and maybe you won't forget it. When you squeeze the sides of a boil, the pus comes out, and so does blood, and so does weird, clear liquid. It's real gross, a fucking boil. But when you squeeze the sides of it, all the shit comes out. And then you don't have a boil anymore, but you have to deal with the period of time where all the shit comes out. Now that's where humanity is right now. And you cannot believe this thing, this argument people make. Well, there's always problems. And if you look in history, there were always mudslides. No, there's more now. The astronauts going to space right now, this is something I heard in an interview that they're saying to talk about. Scott Kelly, I want to say is his name. Talked about like when you're out in space and looking down at the Earth, you see how thin the layer of the atmosphere is around the Earth. And it makes, he said for him, it made him go, holy fuck, we really have to take care of this ozone layer. There's nothing to it. The Earth is like so much more dense than the teeny tiny cellular membrane around it, right? And we're all just farting directly into that. Like it's no big fucking deal. So, you know, they're like, we tried to tell you through subtleties and that didn't wake everyone up. So now everything's more overt. Everything's the planet herself, the soul of Sophia Gaia, she chose to up-level anyway. She said, okay, if they get it, they get it. If they don't, fine, I'm up-leveling. So she like did this big leap a while back. And now the fallout is occurring because human beings are not in vibrational resonance with the resonance of the frequency of the planet. She's bigger than us. She's taken the next step that we need to now take. Thank God many of us are taking it. We're all waking up in our different ways. But those of you who aren't, you know, that's what is you're witnessing, all the challenges is those of you who aren't. These are wake-up calls. They're not even wake-up calls. They're secondary effects of a thing that has already occurred. So Whitney, back to Whitney, and then we'll move on. Please don't be a part of low frequency, low vibrational living. You deserve better. And when you live into what you deserve, the betterness that you deserve, the light that you deserve, when you live into that, you raise the frequency of the planet. When you don't live into it, Whitney, you decrease the frequency of the collective on the planet. So you're, no offense, but we got to do real talk here, okay? There's no time left for us to be sweetie sweet about it. You're contributing to the problem when you don't follow your higher knowing. The people need to follow their higher knowing now. Now, now, now is the time. There's no more time. Now. So get out of there, live your best life, and as a result, contribute to the health and well-being of consciousness itself. Please, Whitney, for the sake of everyone. All right, I'm gonna close her records. And thank you for the question. And thank you for submitting. And thank you for listening to us. I know that was strong talk. That was very strong talk. But you're a strong lady, or you wouldn't have emailed us. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for the love and compassion, the lords of the records for the point of view, Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I see you return all of Whitney something. Hold on, I have it. Whitney Grace Carney's energy to herself now. To return her to her complete human wholeness now. Whew. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Whitney Grace Carney are now closed. Amen. Divine portal and the Akashic records of Whitney Grace Carney are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Whitney Grace Carney are now closed. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Okay. All right. All right, and so we do acknowledge the forces of light. I'm going in. I like this lightning round shit. It's like strengthening my muscles. Asking for guidance, direction, courage to know the truth as revealed for our highest good. As it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. And I'm anchoring down and I'm anchoring up. Okay. Holy Spirit of God, protect me, please, from all forms of self-centeredness and direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Janine Landwing. In the higher wire. It's the way I'm saying it. In the
I'm
light
sure
of the Akashic Records.
Right.
Help me to see Janine Landwing through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me. I hope you don't have name trauma from your childhood, Janine, because this is going to trigger it. And enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Janine Landwing have for Janine Landwing. I'm going to go quiet for a second. Okay. Give me just a second here. All right, could you, thanks, Cass. Can you read the elaborated question?
Yes. I feel the darkness often gets misinterpreted. For me, it is the womb of being, the mystery, the magic, the unknown, all the possibilities where the light is birthed from. And alchemy for me is transforming and creating new worlds, new ways of being. I feel there is much purpose for me in this. I've been working with the darkness and with alchemy, and I feel I am here to bridge worlds, to bridge the darkness with the light in a different way, enabling alchemy. But I don't know what would help or be the next steps to build these new structures, to truly live my purpose. So that's why this question came up for me. What is dark alchemy? What is alchemy truly? I hope it gets clearer now. Thank you for asking, and thank you for holding space for the questions.
Okay. I have more questions to ask her. I wish she were here. And I want to know if she's getting this term dark alchemy from Egyptian studies, from a teacher who said it. I'm actually asking her record keepers now. Is she getting that term from a book she read, from a school she went to? Okay, maybe a school she went to. That reads the most. Let me sit with that. Such a different energy in her records than who we were just with, which is always very fun for me. Oh, yes, Mama, there's a lot that wants to clear here. So first things first, Lords, Masters, and Teachers, Divine Mother, Father, Elders, we're asking to clear anything for Janine that would benefit her in understanding this question, and getting the guidance she's seeking for herself. Oof. There's a lot clearing out of your second chakra, the womb space, Janine. If you're listening to this in the future, breathe into your low belly now. Mmm, my goodness. Mmm. Mmm. Okay, so now they're ready to respond. There was some energy there to clear. So, number one, you are correct that the light is born from this Kaya Ra is an author and an oracle who says that she calls it the black womb of no thing. And I've called it that here on this podcast a few times, the black womb of no thing, the silent blackness from which all other things emerge. Oh my goodness. And then as I say that, more stuff starts to clear out of your womb space. So I'm going to allow that to happen for a moment. And more energy clears from the first chakra. And more energy clears from the connection between your first chakra and the earth. Oh my goodness. Hmm. And then as that energy is released, a big chunk of energy starts to clear up through your spinal column and out through the brain stem, the back of the neck. There's a ton of clearing that wants to happen here before any of these questions are even relevant. Sometimes, you guys, questions that we ask are born out of, there's a block that's making, or a series of energies that are stuck or trapped that are making it difficult to just intuitively know what is right for us, or just know what is true for us. Okay, so there is a black womb of no thing from which all other things are born. Yes. I'm going to talk to the divine now. Is that what she's talking about when she says dark alchemy? No. Okay, so what is dark alchemy? Okay, first you have to understand. We talked about this in one of my healing classes recently. A student, I kind of get that you guys might know one another. Anyway, a student of mine in that class asked about why I was always talking about the light when she herself works with the womb and the darkness and the mystery of the feminine and all that. We have to explain there are two kinds of darkness. There's the darkness that wishes to snuff out the light, and there's the darkness that is the black womb of no thing from which all other things emerge. Okay, hold on. Oh. Oh my goodness. And so, record keepers, does dark alchemy have to do with the black womb of no thing? Yes. Does it have to do with working with darkness that snuffs out light? No. So the dark alchemy is when you go into the black womb of no thing and allow that which needs to be transmuted in yourself to be transmuted directly through the black womb of no thing. If you imagine and understand that the black, think of this in terms of the Big Bang. There was nothing, right, at one point, and then there were things. And the things exploded out of the no thing. There was no thing, and then things exploded out of the no thing. That is the black womb of no thing. So if you were able, if you have a connection, Janine, to the black womb of no thing, the dark womb of alchemical transmutation, by all means, feel your feelings, feel your stuck points, feel your energetic limitations, and allow them to be sucked into the vortex of the black hole that is the black womb of no thing, and they will be transmuted and turned into what they're meant to be. In the same way that Katie speaks of bringing light to whatever needs light brought to it, you're bringing consciousness to whatever needs consciousness brought to it. You're doing the same thing. You're talking about the same thing. In fact, we will share oftentimes when Katie's in a group session healing for people and channeling for people that she will find herself swallowed up entirely. The entirety of her being and her awareness is swallowed into the black womb of no thing. And she will narrate this for her clients, the group of healing clients she's working with. And she will say, here we are sitting in the black womb of no thing, being repatterned, rebuilt, restructured, destroyed, and recreated anew on this topic, whatever the topic might be. So that's what that is. And if you can do it safely, and if you know what you're doing, and if you have a very trustworthy teacher you can do it with, so that you don't get into the business of messing with weird energies that can harm you and that are lying to you. That's why you want a teacher or like a lot of skill before you go doing this, then go for it. Does Janine have a teacher? Not really. Not one she could fully trust. So if you were to work with black alchemy, dark alchemy, you would want someone who knows what they're doing to work with you. And you would want this person to be someone who serves the highest good of all concerned, not who serves themselves and not who serves what they want and not who serves their own opinions, but who serves the highest good of all concerned. Okay. When you're serving the highest good of all concerned, that's like saying you're serving the light or you're serving the black womb of no thin. Now you'll notice I don't say this to everybody, but Janine, you could use an energy healing, my friend. If you're listening, it's time to clear a bunch more of this stuff out of your grounding cord and out of your legs and out of your womb space. When you're ready, katierubin.com, my friend, book a sesh or three or five, or find another healer you really trust and work with them. Whoever's going to do it for you, there's more to do. All right. Thank you for that. Did she have anything else, Cass?
No, that was it.
All right. I'm going to close this out. I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for their love and compassion, the lords of the records for their point of view, and the Holy Spirit of life for all knowledge and healing. Essie, return Janine Landwing's energy to herself now, please. Essie, return all of Janine Landwing's energy to herself now, please. Essie, return her to her complete human wholeness now, please. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Janine Landwing are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Janine Landwing are now closed. Amen. The divine portal and the Akashic records of Janine Landwing are now closed. Amen, amen, amen. Hold on just a moment. Need to send all of Janine's energy back to herself. Close the portal of her. Close her records up. Is all of Janine Landwing's energy out of my system? Yeah. Send that all back to her, please. I have one more thing to say to you, Janine, if you're still listening, which is, and this is for people, all people who are interested in topics like these, the dark alchemy. Part of what draws people sometimes to topics like the dark alchemy is the other kind of darkness. this we were talking about. You could use through your being, through and through you in your cells, some activation and energy work that would allow you to understand and rock in your cells the difference between the darkness that snuffs out the light and the darkness of the black womb of no thing, because you're carrying access to both. And so we want to clarify for you which is which, so you don't get fucked around with. That stuff can really mess with your energy field. So yeah, I just wanna really lean into that. All right, here we go. All right, so we do acknowledge the forces of light for the 90th time, asking for guidance, direction, and courage to know the truth as it is revealed for our highest good and the highest good of everyone connected to us. Holy Spirit of God, protect me from all forms of self-centeredness. Direct my attention to the work at hand. Help me to know Tina Agri in the light of the Akashic Records. Help me to see Tina Agri through the eyes of the Lords of the Records and enable me to share the wisdom and compassion that the masters, teachers, and loved ones of Tina Agri have for Tina Agri. She's once told me how to say her name. That's why I'm saying it that way. I'll go quiet for just a second. Wow. That's really sweet. Her energy is very sweet to be with. My sister is discovering she's autistic and has ADHD. But I have good reason to believe my oldest son, Liam Agri, who's 5, also is on one of these spectrums. Okay, maybe likely the autistic spectrum. Then I ask her, can I use his name or not? She says, yes, please do. So, okay, she's wanting to know. So the question is, what is neurodiversity from a spiritual perspective? And I think I want to ask this as it's related to each individual. So for Liam Agri, she says it's pronounced like angry, but without the N, agri.
Agri.
Agri, angry, agri. Okay. All right, so first of all, am I in the correct records? Yes. Am I in the records of Tina Agri, whose son's name is Liam Agri? Yes. Okay, great. So first of all, would it be fair to say Liam is on the spectrum that we have defined here on Earth as being a spectrum of autism? Is Liam Agri on the autism spectrum? Is there a different way you'd like to frame it? Yes. Okay, so, all right, listen. Okay, now they get so fucking real so fast. They're like, listen up. This whole naming thing, many of you know this already, but Tina, it's all fucking horse pucky. Let me just really get this how they want to say it. It's not useful to frame it that way. The way it would be more useful to frame it is your son is special. Truly, that's not just a placating thing people say. He has abilities other people do not have. He has sensitivities and access points and points of entry to portals of consciousness normal people don't have. More important, Tina, is that you love him and teach him that he is unique and that there are others like him and that inside of his uniqueness is a great gift and or set of gifts. If he weren't neurodiverse, different in this way, he wouldn't be able to bring through what he's here to bring through. It is truly, literally, and 100% the soul's choice to show up on this planet in that way that he has shown up and that your sister has shown up. But your sister's a different thing, so we'll come back to her. So what is neurodiversity from a spiritual perspective? It's a set of gifts. that are covered up in a judgment-based language that make people misunderstand that it's a set of gifts. That's it. Is there more we need to understand about it? No. Okay. Here's where access consciousness has it right. What you believe is your greatest wrongness is always your greatest strongness once you figure out how to line it up and use it well. Please, everyone in the world that's listening to this, please hear that message. What you think is the worst thing about you, your biggest problem, within that problem, let us not oversimplify, is your gift. Example, all of Katie's trauma, because she faced it and has been working with it so directly her whole life, has turned into her greatest gifts. For her ability to tell jokes, her ability to pretend to be other people, her ability to channel light, her ability to see truth for others, her ability to know God, all of it came from the trauma. Now, does that mean you just stop with the neurodiversity symptoms and go like, okay, you're perfect and neurodiversity is perfect and we don't even have to do anything? No, it means you have to dig in, Tina, with your son, and you have to explore with him what the gifts are. What does he have access to? And the image they give me is, what's his name? Bran from Game of Thrones. If anybody watched Game of Thrones, did anyone watch Game of Thrones? No, but Tina, in your life, you might, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones, we would recommend you watch it and follow the character Bran, the one who gets pushed out of the window, then he's in a wheelchair, then he wakes up in his dreams to the reality that he is the three-eyed raven, and he has psychic abilities that like are very, very important to everyone around him. It's his gift. It had to happen for his gift to awaken. Okay. So follow that character on that show. You'll learn a lot about your son. Also, spend time paying close attention to what he's really good at. Focus your time together with him on, what does he do better than other kids? What is he like so good at that it becomes a problem? I'll give you an example. Katie in her childhood was so tapped into what was going on with other people that she would be psychically watching people in class. She'd be, I remember second grade, then again, seventh grade, then ninth grade, sitting in class and being like, hearing the thoughts of the people around me, knowing how the teacher really felt about being there and being so attuned to what was happening in the room that she was like, oh, right, I guess I'm supposed to do this homework in front of me. Okay, you need to look, beloved, at what Liam does like that. Where is he distracted, right? Where is he looking? That if you were to frame his distraction as a gift, you would discover his gifts. What is he into? And let him be, please, 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 Tina. Your job here spiritually is so important. You gotta nurture the shit out of this kid. You gotta nurture the hell out of him and let him know that what he's interested in is all that he needs to be interested in. Fuck the school system. Fuck what they tell, you know, that doesn't mean you have to leave the school system. It means work within the school system to find a way, if you're gonna stay in the school system, work with whatever systems you're in or dealing with. Give me a second. To find a way for Liam to get to do what Liam does, for Liam to get to be Liam. Have his back ferociously. Surround him with others that are like him. These are his gifts. Nurture them. Don't reinforce, oh, you're so different. Oh, we have to get you to be better. That is not the framing. Get you better. He is better. He's already better. He's on the, what do you call it? What are those guys called? Not the A-team, but the superheroes?
The Avengers.
The Avengers. He's an Avenger. Let him be an Avenger. Okay. Now, about your sister. Did she ask a question about this? I'm just rereading the question. Okay, no, she didn't. But is there any info about the sister that's relevant here? Not really. Is the sister's neurodiversity similar? Yes. I guess there's a bunch more to say about the sister, but that would be a whole other topic. But your sister could use this same little speech they just gave for Liam. They need to give it to her. She has to understand that her sensitivity, in her case, it's like she needs a lot of space and quiet and delicateness. You gotta let her have it. It's almost like she needs to live in a padded room, and that's okay. That's how she creates. But no, there's no but. All right, thank you, my love, for the question. I'm gonna close your records. Thank you, Lords, Masters, and Teachers, Masters, Teachers, and Loved Ones, for your love and compassion. Lords of the Records, for your point of view. Holy Spirit of Light, for all knowledge and healing. Oh, and by the way, before I forget to emphasize this, Tina, your records are so damn fun to be in. I want to stay here forever. Like, in your records, you're like a sprightly little ball of light. You want me to say it so that you don't never give that up. You know, I know you wouldn't, but just a reminder, like, yes, dance on the fucking edges of rivers in the middle of the day and goofy, be your goofy, dancey, dance around self and make the silly songs and play and play and play. That's your thing. That's you bringing light to the planet. It is right for you. That's your essence. You're doing it. You're living it. Rock on. Don't judge it. You're doing great. One other thing. They're also saying don't feel obligated to make money doing that stuff. That stuff can be what you do for you because that stuff is who you are. You can bring your bubbly, bouncy, joyful, singy, songy self to a government job if you want. Actually, not really, but a different kind of job. It doesn't have to be like, I teach people dance. Although I know that you do that, so do that. That works for you. But, and there's other things you could do that allow you to bring that effervescence to it. So don't, what's that called? Pigeonhole yourself into one thing. If you're needing more money, you don't have to only do your absolute favorite thing. Do your absolute favorite thing and whatever else is going to support you because you can bring that bubbly effervescence to that other work. All right. I want to thank the Holy Spirit of Light for all knowledge and healing. I ask that you return Tina Agri's energy to herself now. I ask that you return her to her complete human wholeness now. God, the divine portal in the Akashic Records of Tina Agri are now closed. Amen. The divine portal in the Akashic Records for Tina Agri are now closed. Amen. The divine portal in the Akashic Records for Tina Agri are now closed. Amen. 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 Shadow and Layla Ha'ilallah, Shadow and Muhammad Abduhu Rasulullah, Astaghfirullah. This is great. This is like a workout.
This is great.
I'm doing lunges, spiritual lunges.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Well, geez, everybody listening, thanks for tuning in. This was, interesting, not boring, fun for me, and I hope, you know, useful for folks listening. I guess the last thing I just want to say before we hop off, I just turned the camera on just to see you for a sec, Cass, is like, God, it's great for me to do these because it... each energy is so distinctly different from the last that it is such great validation for me. It's like, you are not full of shit, Ruben. You're doing your job. You're doing well. Look, when you go rapid fire one to the next, it's like, wow, I cannot deny the difference in those people's energies. It's so cool. It's so cool. And the other last little piece is that, you know, with that healing I had earlier today for myself, I want to say that, like, every bit of energy work we do for ourselves, every bit of healing, whether it's energy work or not, it just opens things more and makes things more perceivable. So even though I was tired and like my eyes are heavy and all that, I feel so very open and clear.
Yeah.
And so anyway, it's just a reminder for folks listening that, you know, even when your work is hard, if you keep going, there's so many benefits and so many payoffs. So, you know, do your work, maybe.
Do your work.
What are you asking for? All of the answers? Say what? All of the answers? Yeah, all the answers.
Hey guys, thanks for listening. We'd love to hear from you. Please email us with your questions so that we have questions to answer in the Akashic Records. Our email address is allanswerspod@gmail.com. That's allanswerspod@gmail.com. And if you'd like to find us on Facebook or Twitter, it's @allanswerspod. Thank you. Are you okay?
Yep. I'm just making notes about our little tech glitch for our buddy.
Oh.
That was a Sounds Awesome production.